As part of Escambia County's 200th anniversary celebration, organizers have embarked on a quest to identify every person who might have lived in the Pensacola area when it officially became U.S. territory in 1821.
Well, we're calling it 1821, a Pensacola sampler.
This is Margot Stringfield, an archaeologist at the University of West Florida and co-chair of the 200th Anniversary Commission.
This is one of several products that we are developing that will be released between now and July 17th that will give not only the residents of Pensacola, but those who visit us, a real sense of place, who we are, where we came from, and how we fit into the Great American Plan, and who we are as Floridians.
Specifically, the first phase of 1821, a Pensacola sampler, also referred to as Faces of Pensacola, is to identify all the people who were in Pensacola and Escambia County for the changing of the flags from Spanish to American. The ceremony took place on July 17, 1821.
Being able to look at that population and give them names and give them depth of person is a very rewarding thing to do, because often the focus on our history is on the big person and the big event. It is not on the people, and that is actually who makes your history and who gives you the rich and diverse heritage that follows down through the years. So we are focused on the people that were in Pensacola and what their contributions were and how we see that reflected in our modern, multifaceted, diverse community.
To that end, the West Florida Genealogical Society has taken on the task of digging into the historical records, with independent researcher and society volunteer Erin Renfro leading the effort.
Well, we have identified 2,276 individuals who would have been present in the Pensacola area or the Spanish West Florida area at the time of the exchange of flags. Just under half of them we have not been able to identify by name. We know that they were there based on different counts of the population that were done, but they were either enslaved people or they were rank-and-file military who were not given names in these counts, but we do want to have them represented, if at all possible.
Where did you look? Tell us about the actual research.
Many of the normal routes of research were closed to us because we started this project right about the time Pensacola was starting to shut down because of the pandemic. So I did have to turn to privately held records. Virginia Shelby, who is our past president of the society, has ancestors in this area, so she was able to supply the names for a lot of people in the Escambia River District. And I also used a lot of digital holdings. I used the wills and deeds for Escambia County. But of course, the main thing I used was the 1820 Spanish Census of Pensacola that was done by Dr. William Coker back in the 80s. And that was an absolutely invaluable resource for us and a jumping off point for all the rest of the research.
People documented in the 1830 census helped reinforce the list of Pensacola residents, but it was Dr. Coker's book, which transcribed the 1820 Spanish census, that yielded the vast majority of the names. Additionally, Stringfield says one of the most valuable aspects of that original enumeration is the inclusion of detailed information about the people. It went beyond early American censuses, which only listed head of household by name and everyone else by number.
It would appear that they're recorded by the streets they live on, so you're able to reconstruct neighborhoods, but you also have a vast array of information. And I'm picking just one here, and this is Felipe Prieto, who was 40 years old in 1820. He was a widower. He was born in Madrid, and he was a civil servant. His life companion was a woman named Mariana, and she is listed as a mestiza. He was born in the Indian Nation, and they had two children together. And so you have everyone's ages. You have a reflection of where they would have stood in terms of their socioeconomic standing.
The 1820 Spanish census also reflected a diverse local population.
Well, if you were identified in this census as either a Negro or a mulatto or pardo, you were a person of color. And if you were identified in the census, you were also free. You were a free person of color.
One parda woman was Euphrosina Pinard.
Again, lead researcher Erin Renfro.
She was born in Louisiana. I believe she was born into slavery, but she had purchased her own freedom or been manumitted by that point. But she was in Pensacola, and she's listed as a sales lady, which really undersells what she was doing. She was a property owner, and she even eventually owned slaves herself, but she had a wonderful scheme for them to sort of create a mortgage to purchase their own freedom, where she would loan them the money to purchase their freedom, and then they would pay her back.
Now, at 2,276, in terms of named and unnamed people identified, the focus is shifting to filling in some of the blanks rather than finding new people. And that brings us to the next phase of the sampler project. In our next Bicentennial Spotlight, we'll focus on the faces of Pensacola 1821 and 2021, which is a web-based interactive mosaic of faces from our modern community honoring the 1821 community. For more information on how you can participate, find a link in the online version of this story at our website, wuwf.org. Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.